Howdy, folks. I'm fixing to tell y'all about Texas, nicknamed the Lone Star State.
I'm particularly fond of these. I pulled them out of a place on Midgard called Texas.
Don't mess with Texas?
That's the message.
I'm Walker, and I'm Texas Ranger.
Sexy. I mean, anything for Salinas.
Welcome to this week's episode of Texas Slang for Crazy. Just a little warning at the top of this episode, we are going to be discussing themes of sexual assault and adult films as well as marijuana use. So if this is not something the audience you are with is comfortable listening to, such as your children, or if you're listening to this out loud at work, you may want to put on the headphones or wait till a little bit later. This week, we're talking about the life of performer Candy Barr. Candy Barr was one of the absolute legends of the world of burlesque. Using live music and completely forgetting about time limits, she shimmied and shook across Las Vegas and the Sunset Strip in California. But before she was known by a stage name, she was just a little girl named Juanita. Juanita Slush originally came to South Dallas with the hope to escape the life that she'd had back in Edna, Texas. She'd been sexually molested more than once by family friends, and with very little money coming into the family, a dead mom, and a not-so-great stepmother, she thought she'd be better off going north to try and make a living in a city rumored to have jobs and relatively cheap living conditions. She was only 13 and working as a maid at a Dallas motel to get by. At just 14 years old, she married her first husband. His name was Billy Debs, and he was a safecracker. To get their money, Juanita would go into a business and pretend to apply for a job. And after getting a tour of the place and finding out where their safe was, she'd share that information with Billy, and he'd return to the location and crack the safe on the property. They'd grab the money, and Juanita would drive the getaway car. This was not a good long-term solution for money troubles, and Billy ended up going to prison. He ended up being shot dead right after getting out. Juanita was now alone, and she needed money if she was going to continue to survive. She started dancing at nightclubs, and men would pay to have sex with her. Sometimes they used weapons to force her to have sex with them. Her mantra was that she had to do what she had to do to survive. She unfortunately found herself the star of an adult film called Smart Aleck after a man forced her to be filmed having sex with another man in a motel room. She was only 15 years old. Juanita got a break when she started working as a cigarette girl at Barney Weinstein's Theater Lounge. Abe Weinstein, Barney's older brother, told Juanita she had star quality, and he had her start burlesque dancing. As she enjoyed eating candy bars on break, they made her stage name Candy Barr. She bleached her hair blonde and started performing for frat boys, crime bosses, and it was rumored once or twice maybe a Texas governor. Someone recognized her from Smart Aleck, and then even more people started flocking to see her. Burlesque dancing names at the time were usually these weird French sultry names made up to sound really classy and European, and it also involved a lot of stage makeup. She really didn't care for either of those things, and she chose to wear very little makeup and very little of anything else. At private parties, she could now get $500 for an appearance, and more if someone wanted a closer look. After years of being used and abused, she was now dancing and raking in the dough. But sadly, the good luck wouldn't last. Candy married her second husband, Troy Phillips, and he was extremely abusive. In January 1956, she'd had enough. They separated, and one night he ended up forcing his way into their apartment while drunk. She told the police she aimed for his groin, but her bullet landed in his stomach. In a time where most women didn't get away with protecting themselves from their abuser, she won her case and went free. If you're wondering how all of this was going over in the extremely sexually repressed era of the 1950s in America, it was not going good. There were many women's clubs in Dallas particularly angry that their husbands were paying $500 to get their hands on a performer. After a ton of pressure, Dallas District Attorney Henry Wade and Police Captain Pat Ganaway started to gather information to get Candy Barr shut down in Dallas for good. Some of it was maybe extra legal. Candy Barr had her phone tapped and her every move watched. In October of 1957, police broke into her apartment and raided it. According to a Texas Monthly article, Candy Barr claimed that the warrant they brought in was blank. Regardless, they searched and found a small bottle of marijuana a friend of Candy's had asked her to hide while her mom was visiting. While it was less than an ounce, the police insisted that there was enough marijuana to roll 125 joints. Their math is very off. Texas then and now is not known for being particularly lenient on marijuana charges. The district attorney thought that she would happily accept a 2-year sentence and just claim guilty. As she would continue to do, Candy surprised everyone and said she wanted her day in court. Again, remember that this is at a time in Dallas where they were not messing around with marijuana and people were being sentenced to life in prison. I actually met someone who was initially sentenced to life in prison for marijuana possession, but got out later on in life for other reasons. It was pretty clear that Candy Barr's trial was not going to be a serious one immediately. Part of that had to do with the fact that the judge took out a camera and started taking pictures of her. The prosecutor, Bill Alexander, called her soiled and dirty, and with only one woman on the jury, it was no surprise that they brought back a guilty verdict so that the other 11 wouldn't get in trouble with their wives. The sentence for Candy was 15 years in prison. Remember that rumor about the governor that, you know, might have gone to a few of her shows? Governor Daniel called the DA's office to ask why the heck the sentence was so severe. Lucky for Candy, while her lawyers appealed her case, she was allowed to be free. Many people would have stayed quiet, dressed modestly, and done everything they could do to stay off law enforcement's radar. But Candy Barr ended up getting an El Rancho nightclub gig in Las Vegas, and she was making about $2,000 a week. So Vegas is where a lot of the fun stories about Candy Barr come into play. She was evidently dating at one time the infamous mob boss Mickey Cohen. The relationship was very short, but it gave her a reputation of being notorious. There's also a belief that she may have been a bridesmaid in one of Sammy Davis Jr.'s weddings, because why not? Sadly, El Rancho fired her thanks to pressure from Las Vegas law enforcement and a county commissioner who seemed to let everything but Candy Barr slide. However, Candy Barr had to return to Texas to face the music, and this time without her dancing shoes on. Her case reached the Texas Court of Criminal Appeals, and sadly, 2 out of 3 judges upheld the Dallas ruling. The third judge wrote a strongly worded dissension saying this was pretty stupid and he didn't want to be part of it. Candy ended up in the Gorey Prison Farm for Women in Huntsville. If Huntsville sounds familiar, that's probably because they have 7 prison facilities, and the one where death row inmates are kept out here in Texas. Candy's entrance to prison, like everything else, was made into a production by the media. Newspaper reporters and cameramen snapped photos as she was entering the facility, and she was dressed to impress, wearing black gloves and a black coat with a fur collar. She made a quip to the crowd that she'd always wanted a brick house, and now it looked like she was getting one. Prison really isn't designed for recreation and fun, but somehow reporters kept talking about the time that she was in, you know, the prison choir and how she was writing poetry. She did eventually publish a poetry book, and it's called A Gentle Mind Confused. The only copy I could find was about $250, so I'm not going to be reading that anytime soon. She was put on parole 3 years and 3 months after going to jail. The conditions were that she couldn't work anywhere that served alcohol, and she couldn't act as an exotic dancer. She seemed like she had plans to keep her head down and stay out of the spotlight, but of course the universe had other plans. In September of 1963, she was visited by and may have been dating the head of the Carousel Club in Dallas. And if that sounds very familiar and uncomfortable, it's probably because this friend was none other than Jack Ruby, the man who shot Lee Harvey Oswald the day after Kennedy was assassinated. Federal agents ended up interrogating her to find out what she knew. She claimed and continued to claim up until her death that she had no idea Jack Ruby planned to kill Oswald or anything about any kind of conspiracy. In 1968, Candy Barr received a full pardon from then-Governor John Connally, you know, for that marijuana charge that she was still on parole for. Yes, this is the same Connolly that was shot during the JFK assassination, in case you were wondering. Shortly after this, while living in Brownsville, police again entered her home at 2:30 in the morning and arrested her for possession of marijuana. The judge said that this 2:30 invasion was not legal, and he threw the case out. So she's trying. She's trying to stay quiet and out of the limelight, but by 1975, she was broke. So broke that when We, an adult magazine, asked her to pose nude, she agreed to do it for $5,000. She again broke the mold because at this time, it was extremely rare for a woman over 30 to appear in a men's magazine like that. According to Texas Monthly, around this time, at one point, Farrah Fawcett was talking about making a movie about Candy Bar, but the project was forgotten. She decided to go back to being Juanita and lived a quiet life by her own choosing until her death in 2005. She is buried at Memory Gardens of Edna Cemetery in Texas, obviously, under the name Juanita Dale Candy Bar Slusher Phillips. Rest in peace, Candy. Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of Texas Slang for Crazy. I'm trying to find some new and interesting things for you that you may not have heard of before. I know that when I looked for podcasts on Candy Bar, nothing came up. When I looked for information on her on YouTube, nothing came up. But I did find a really cool book, which I'll put in our resources on the website, as well as a great article in Texas Monthly. Texas Monthly continues to be amazing. This isn't an ad for them. I'm not getting sponsored by them or anything like that, but I definitely keep a subscription to them because I always find out really cool stuff, especially stuff from like the 80s that I knew nothing about. If you are looking for more fun stories about how weird Texas is and what makes us special, my first book, Texas Slang for Crazy by Victoria Irwin, is available in the Amazon store. And if you are excited about more information, that's great because I am writing my second book. Thanks for listening. Follow us on social media. Visit the website, TX Slang for Crazy, and have a great week, y'all.